Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, thank you for being with us today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and we are thankful to be with you again at Abounding Grace. And you who have tuned in, we are thankful to you, radio listener, that we can bring these broadcasts to you each and every week. Now, today we go back and look at the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there the Apostle Paul gives a great calling to this young pastor, Timothy, to continue in his ministry because of all of the great challenges and things that he is facing. I want you to hear the call today. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What an amazing passage, and what an important passage for our day. Well, in a recent poll, over two-thirds of all pastors' questions said that the most pressing issue for the church today is the need for spiritual revival. Complaints increase almost weekly that the church is standing paralyzed as the world is becoming more innovative and complex every day. The methods that the church has used for centuries, they say, are now outdated, and we need to be as innovative as the world. The answer, of course, on how to bring about the word revival is generally used. How to bring about revival is greatly debated. The feeling today is that the church needs to be as innovative and high-tech as the world so that it may market its product on a competitive basis. Many churches of our day have gone through a great remodeling and renovation to make the message of Jesus Christ more appealing to the masses. And amazingly, these new innovative techniques seem to be working. For some, churches are known to have over 20,000 people enter their doors on a given Sunday. The theory today is that the Word of God preached is, of course, outdated, and we need to remove theology, adjust our methodology to meet the felt needs of the culture. The issue that I raised this morning as we begin 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the simple question, is this approach permissible by God? I mean, that's a fair question. It's His church, it's His house, it's His method, it's His gospel, it's His salvation, everything is His. Is this permissible by God? Well, as we will see in the text, no matter how popular the message of the word is to the world, the church is always called, in season, out of season, in good times and in bad times and hard times, to remain faithful to her task of bringing forth the preached word of God. It's helpful to have a little background into this text this morning so we understand what really is taking place. Most of us are familiar with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Those of you who have studied the Word of God and know anything about the life of Paul, he was an apostle to the Gentiles, and God used him in a mighty way to bring forth the truth of the Word. And so we have the ability to open the Word of God and look into Paul's motivations for ministry. We find that there's one particular important emphasis that he always had, and that was to preach the gospel. Paul realized that he had been given this stewardship from God. In Colossians 1:25, He writes, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And then he goes on to say, his motivation was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, how could that be done? See, Paul realized that he had been entrusted with the very words of God, and with this entrusted stewardship was the gospel, the wonderful news of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. He realized that this gospel of Jesus was the truth that had set him free from sin and death. This gospel entrusted to him were the very words of life to him, and he realized this was all he needed in this sad world. This is why in Philippians he says, what things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Everything that this world had to offer Paul, even his former life and all these benefits and things that he had achieved, he counted as rubbish as he found that his only true hope, that one pearl of great price, was the gospel. And so being entrusted with this, his primary concern as an ambassador of the gospel was to be faithful in bringing it forth. He would go on to say, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. His concern was to be faithful to give to the sheep what he had been entrusted with from the God of heaven and earth, the very words of life to lost sinners, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as we approach our text today, we find that Paul is instructing his young protege, Timothy, to continue the great task of bringing forth this gospel. You see, Paul is about ready to die. In verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight and finished the race. The one thing that mattered to Paul, even at the end of his life, was that the word would continue to be faithfully preached, that he would pass this baton on, if you would, that when he is gone, you know, they often say that the messenger will die, but the message will continue, and that's all that Paul cared about. It was the very power that had brought him salvation, and he knew would bring salvation to all who hear. You see, at this point in his life, he's about to suffer martyrdom. Paul had written this letter to Timothy in about the year AD 68. And we know that 2 years later, a bloodthirsty emperor named Nero would begin a great persecution of the Christians. Paul didn't care, really. He says in Acts 21, I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. History tells us that Nero beheaded Paul. But as Paul approached this coming death, what's interesting here, my friends, is that his concern remained the same. It didn't matter what kind of death would fall on Paul, the gospel that he had been given ensured forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And no matter what this world would do to him, all he cared about, even at the end of his life, was that the word would go forth faithfully. For this same word had saved him, and it still is today the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. His concern, his one concern, was that the gospel would continue to go forth. But as he saw his death approaching, it was obviously something that great concerned him, that men would be faithfully trained up who would continue this great task of preaching the word. See, he's writing to Timothy to encourage him in the furtherance of the gospel. We know that Timothy was his student, one who Paul considered his own son in the faith. Timothy had traveled with Paul on his second missionary journey and was a great help to Paul in the ministry. But Timothy must have had some limitations that concerned Paul. We know Timothy was young for the ministry, as Paul told him not to let anyone despise his youth. Timothy struggled with a weak stomach, and Paul had to exhort him constantly to flee from youthful lusts. But most of all, Paul's concern was that Timothy would correct the false doctrine that surrounded him, and that he would fight for the truth of the Word of God by proclaiming it faithfully. See, Timothy was assigned the great task of leading the church at Ephesus out of sin and false doctrine. If you know anything about Ephesus, it was that great pagan metropolis, and as a port city, it was known for its fertility cults and temple prostitutes. It was a wicked, wicked place. Interestingly, Ephesus was one of the great wonders of the ancient world, especially with this pagan temple to the goddess Diana. It was the very place that Paul was almost martyred for the great riot that took place in Acts 19. And Paul was accused as he preached Christ for taking their prophets as they made these shrines of Diana. And so Timothy was with this great task in Ephesus, had a lot of pressure on him because, now this is where I want to go with this week. The gospel wasn't so appealing to this pagan culture. And the question that plagued the Ephesian church and the mind of every Christian in this city were things like this. Is our church going to be able to survive in this overwhelmingly pagan, hostile culture? How can our little, weak, marginalized church possibly in any way make the slightest dent in this overwhelmingly unchristian city? How can we as a church be effective in this type of environment? Paul knows of this city very well, and in reading through his letters to Timothy, he's concerned that this young pastor might compromise the message. So this is where Paul goes this week. He takes him to his great calling in the ministry. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You think we're living in that, my friends? When the time has come when people aren't enduring sound doctrine, we do everything and anything but preach the word. Doctrine is a taboo word. We show videos and do everything else other than proclaim Christ and Him crucified. We have lost confidence in His methods, and the church shows more like a movie theater than a foundation where Christ is preached. See, my friends, this is what Paul is calling Timothy to do today, to preach the word in season and out of season. And we must be zealous for this today in a day when this is so sadly compromised. May we hear today the calling that Paul gives. Preach the word. Preach this Jesus to lost sinners, for He's the only way of life, and it still is, even in our day, 2008, the power of God to save those who believe.
This has been Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.